Bob, I'm gonna do something. I hope nobody heard this. It's critical of me today. I'm gonna do something I ain't never done. Y'all gonna realize what the scripture. I posted this on the Chilo Facebook page during the week. I'm gonna preach about it today. So it's to be found in the first chapter of the book of Colossians. And it's the beginning of the 9th verse. And I didn't post all this, but I'm gonna go down to the 14th verse if you want to follow along. But I'm thankful as Amanda sung that song. I sure am glad he still answers prayer. Amen. And I know he's answered prayers in my life, or I wouldn't be standing here today. And I'm thankful for all those prayers that he's answered in my life. And I think sometimes we ask God and we fail to thank him. Y'all, I'm thankful today, and I want to pray for you today in my life. I'm thankful for the answered prayers of my grandparents and friends and moms and dads and all around that have prayed for every one of us, and a church that prayed for me when I was lost. And I thank God that we've heard those prayers. But beginning with the 9th verse, I want to say, too, I'm glad for a visitor today, and I believe it's Pastor Tim. Back there. We met him last week. We're thankful to have him. You stand appreciate him being here today. And, got to meet him last Sunday. We're glad to have a visitor with us today. Beginning in the 9th verse, the first chapter of the book of Colossians, and reads like this. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." And correctly read, that's the 9th to the 14th verse of the first chapter of the book of Colossians. And I believe that it teaches us a great lesson here. As Paul, I believe, as he begins to tell the people of the Colossians here, and he begins to tell them, he says, "I pray for you, and I pray for you daily in my life." And I believe that maybe we kind of took prayer as we think of it as when somebody's sick, we need to pray for them. When they're in trouble, we need to pray for them. But you know, I believe prayer needs to be a daily part of our lives. That it's not something we do occasionally, but it's something we practice every day that we wake up. I don't believe the Bible's specific. I've heard people say y'all pray 3 times a day. They probably get that from Daniel. But I tell you, I believe praying do good if we pray 3 times, 5 times, 7 times, whatever God moves on your heart. But we kind of took prayer, and we think prayer can only be when somebody's sick, when somebody's hurting, maybe financially going through hard times. But I believe the Bible shows us and tells us in our life that we need to be praying for our brothers and our sisters in Christ daily. And I believe it do us all good to do that. I'll say more than that. I believe God has required it of each one of us, that we need to pray one and for each other. You know, you go through the Bible, it says pray without ceasing. I believe continually we need to be in prayer in our lives. And I believe as Paul begins to tell him, he said, "I love you." He begins up at the beginning of it, he says, "I love you." You know what, church? If we love each other, we ought to pray for each other, shouldn't we? I believe that if we love each other and we care for each other, it's our responsibility to pray for each other. And if Paul goes into it, and I'm going to maybe break this down by verse. He says in that 10th verse, in the 9th verse, he says this, "that ye may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding."
You know what? He's given us a blueprint of what we should do every day. And he begins, he tells the people here at the Colossians, here he tells them, he said, I pray that you would know what the will of God is. Now I thought about this, and maybe as being a parent, and my responsibility as a parent, and that I need to pray for my kids, and I thought, you know, there's a lot of things we can pray for our kids, ain't there? But one of the greatest things we can pray for our kids is that the will of God, they would know the will of God in their lives. And I believe one of the most important things as a church to pray for each other is that you would know the will of God in your life. And he goes on to say, with all knowledge, and I believe with all understanding. And I believe that God will give you that understanding and that knowledge in your life to know what the will of God will be. And can you imagine, church, if we would do this? And that we would pray for each other in this way. What the power that we could see in the house of God would be. That we would all follow the will of God in our lives. I don't know maybe what the will of God is in your life, but I hope that you'll pray in my life that God would show me that will in my life. And my prayer to you is that God's will would be done in your life. And I believe that it's important, and we think of brothers and sisters in Christ, the most important thing you know. You know what my desire for you to know is this, and you young people and you people coming up, I hope that you know what God's will is in for your life, even as you choose a mate to spend the rest of your life with. You know, my kids, I pray for them. You know, they may have dated people and went out with people. But my prayer to my kids is this, that God's will would be done in their lives. You know, it's easy in our lives to think what we want, what we desire. But I want what God desires to be done. And that they would have that knowledge and that understanding to know that. When God speaks to them in their life, then they understand this is God speaking to me. This is not what I want. This is what God wants. And I believe God will do that. God don't leave us without a clue. He doesn't leave us without understanding. But He says to us, He said for us to pray for each other in that way that you may know it, that you may understand it. And really the most important thing that every one of us can desire to have in our life is not the things of the world, but the things of God. And I believe with all our heart we should be praying for those things. And Paul shows us this in this scripture. And he goes on down and listen to it. I like this 10th verse. He says, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now listen to that. Well, what more could we ask for than that right there? I believe what he's saying to us is this, that Paul is praying for him. He said that when you get this understanding, he said, I pray for you that you might have that the understanding and the faith to walk worthy of what God is asking you to do. And you know, that is a great thing, ain't it? That you would just simply walk worthy of the calling that God has called you to do in your life. That you would understand that. You know, it's easy for us sometimes in our life to understand things, ain't it? But it's hard for us to do them a lot of times. I've known things that God's wanted me to do in my life, but it was hard for me to have the faith to be able to do those things. And Paul is saying here, he said, not only have that I pray for God to give you the understanding to do it, but I also pray that you would have the faith to be able to do it in your life. And I believe that would be a great thing for every one of us today. That we would not only know what to do, but God would give us, that we would have the faith enough to be able to do it. He said to be worthy, to walk worthy of what? And you think about that, to be worthy of. You know what makes us worthy is God, ain't it?
Amen.
We're not worthy of a thing that we've got and we've received from God. The only thing that makes us worthy is what God, and He's going to remind them at the end of this scripture right here. And He says there that you may walk in this way, and listen to this. And boy, you want to pray something for your kids. And you want to pray something for those that are around you and those that you love. He goes on to say this, that ye might produce fruit in that of your life. Boy, that is something that we all, in every one of our life, that those around us, I tell you, our desire, my desire for my kids, you know, I'm proud of my kids. I've said this before. I told somebody the other day, I said, one of my kids is a school teacher. The other one's fixing to be graduated, and he's going to be an engineer. And they got one of them's got a job. The other one's got a job waiting for him. And I'm thankful for that part of their life. But I tell you, the greatest thing that they could do in that of their life is to bear fruit for that of God. That the greatest thing, and I believe that as Paul says and he recognizes and he realizes, he said, I love you so much. He said, I want to be that. I'm not only that of your brother and sister in Christ, but I want to walk with you and I want to see your life produce the fruit that God wants you to in your life. You say today we ain't got nothing to pray for. We got a lot to pray for, don't we? There's a lot that every one of us every day. You know what we can do? It's making a routine in our lives to pray this prayer every day. As a church, for your friends, for your children, for your spouse, for all those around you. You know what? I believe this, that we took prayer and we only see it as a time of need when God says, you know what? It ain't a time of need. It should be an everyday practice of our life. And I believe if we pray these prayers that those when those things come around and those things happen in our life and we find out about a sickness and we find out about trouble and we face financial issues and we find problems with our families and all these other things, if we pray this prayer and as God says, as Paul says to pray, He says, you pray that your brethren have strength. I tell you what will happen is that it's easier for them to overcome those things that fall their way. That this is a prayer that we pray every day, that when they face those things come in their life, that they're no longer difficult for you, they're no longer hard for you, that it's something in our lives that we can face because God has gave it to us and He's put it in our heart and we're producing that fruit, we're living close to Him and we're walking worthy of what God wants us to and that of the will of God in our life. That I tell you, there's things that are worse than being sick and that's being out of the will of God, ain't it? I tell you, the worst and the most miserable I have ever been in my life is when I was out of the will of God, walking in a way that I wanted to walk, away from God, separated from God, that there is misery in that, ain't there? And the only thing that we can do and the thing we need to do for each other is to pray for each other that we're not that way, ain't there? You know, I believe a church that together is a church that is following and walking in the will of God and each individual member is walking in the will of God and individually right where God wants us to be. And the greatest prayer we can pray for our church is to pray for each other, ain't it? You know, you think about somebody the other day sent me a prayer request to pray for my brother. Said he's got something wrong with an infection in his finger that's infecting his whole body. And that's what happens with the church, ain't it? That if we're not healthy as an individual part and piece of the church, then as a body, we're not as healthy as we need to be, are we? And it's important that we pray for that strength that God gives us. And get away from this thinking that the only prayer that we can pray is when you're sick. And when you're in need of something. And when you're hurting. But he says that it should be every day. And he goes on in the 12th verse, and listen to this. Let me back up just a little bit. In the 11th verse, he says, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering joyfulness. Now I'll tell you what, I don't want to skip that because that's the prayer I need. You know what he says right there? He says, I'm praying for you that you would have patience. I need your prayer. I believe every woman in the house today can raise her hand and say, pray that for my husband. that God would give us the patience that He desires in our life. And Paul says there to the people of the Colossians, he says, I pray that God will give you patience. And listen to what else he says. He says that you would have long suffering. And not only that, but you'll have joyfulness. Have you ever thought about praying for somebody else and God would just give them joy? Maybe that's why we're not as joyous as we ought to be. We're not praying for it, are we? He says, I want you to have patience and long-suffering in the Lord, but I want you to have joy. I want you to enjoy your salvation. I want you to come to the house of God with joy in your heart. I want you to go to your job with joy in your heart. I want you to wake up in the morning with joy of the Lord in your heart. And I believe he's talking about the joy of the Lord, because without that, those other joys are just temporary and everything else just takes them from us, don't they? But when you have joy of the Lord in your life, it's a joy that ain't nobody back from you. And he tells us, pray that God will give us that joy in our life, that the joy of the Lord will be our strength and the joy of the Lord will be in the house of God. And I believe what meeting we'd have in the house. I don't know about y'all, but I could use those three prayers right there, couldn't you? Joy for patience, or a prayer for patience, and a prayer for long suffering, and a prayer for joyfulness. I tell you what, if you ain't got by anybody else in the morning when you wake up and pray them things for three things for me. Because I fall short of them a lot of times, don't you? That's a weakness of mine. But God, when we pray for each other, I believe God will give us strength to be able to overcome those things. And that strength comes from God. And you know, in your life, you can't do it. I tell you today, you ain't got the strength to have the patience God wants you to have. And you ain't got the strength to have the long-suffering God wants you to have. And I don't believe we've got the strength in our life to have the joyfulness that God wants us to have. But through God we can. And through God we can have those things. And through God we need to ask those things of each other. You know, we think that a lot of times too. And prayer is just simply something we got to pray for ourselves, ain't it? You know, I believe it does you good to pray for yourself, don't you? I believe we ought to pray for ourselves. But I believe that we need to pray for each other. And in that prayer in our lives is not the selfish prayer that we desire in our life, but what God wants. And I'm going to go on in this. If you listen, he'll sum it up right here. He says, giving thanks unto the Father. I tell you, we ought to give thanks to the Father, shouldn't we? You ever stop and thank God for answering prayers in your life? You ever just stop and thank God? You know what? Prayer ought to be more than just asking God for a bunch of things. It ought to be thanking Him for the things He gave you, ain't it?
Amen.
It ought to be thanking Him that we got had health and strength to be able to get up this morning and come to the house of God. We ought to thank Him for that of our families. We ought to thank Him for our church. We ought to thank Him for those around us. We ought to thank Him for salvation. I tell you, there shouldn't be a day that we shouldn't get up every morning. We ought not fall on our knees and thank God that if we die, we're no longer going to hell, but He's prepared us a place in heaven.
Amen.
We ought to thank Him for salvation. Giving thanks unto the Father. You know, that's something we fall short of, ain't it? You know, my mom and daddy told me at early age, if I ever got something, and we'd go somewhere and eat before we walked out the door, mom and daddy would make me stop at the door and they'd tell them, said, you tell them thank you for what they have done. I didn't understand it at the time, but I'm glad mom and daddy told me those things. Because a lot of times nowadays, folks don't give no thanks for nothing, do they? You know where our help comes from? It comes from God, ain't it?
Amen.
You know where your help comes from? It comes from God.
Amen.
You know where life comes from? It comes from God. You know where our salvation comes from? It comes from God. And I tell you something, you ought to thank God for it today.
Amen.
Then he goes on in it and he says this, he says, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. You know where that our worthiness comes from? I done said it, but it comes from God, don't it? The only thing that makes us worthy of the things that are waiting for us, and he goes on and says it is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's because our Savior died and hung on a cross, and on the third day God raised him from the dead. And I believe that he's gone home to prepare us a place, and he's gave us a promise that he'll come back one day after a while. That's the only thing that makes us worthy today. There's a bunch of folks living their life today that simply thinks it's by their own strength, their own power, their own might, their own doing. And I believe today that the only thing that we've got that we can say today, that if we've got anything in our life, it's simply because of God's grace and God's mercy in our life. I don't know about y'all today, but I tell you, if there's one thing we thank God for, and there's one thing we shout about, and I believe that is this reason that we can stand, and the reason we need to pray for each other, the reason we need to be there for each other, is simply today because of the grace of God. Oh, Paul in another place says this. He says, I am what I am by the grace of God. And I'll say today, that's the rule. I can stand here today and say the exact same thing in my life. I'm thankful for this scripture. You know, when God moved in my heart, I tried to get up in the morning and bow on my knees and not pray for me, but pray for you. Pray for my kids. Pray for my family. And pray for those that are around me. And he goes on. I'm going to read the rest. I'll try to be quiet. Who hath delivered? Listen to this, folks. Now, if you ain't heard nothing else today, you listen to these verses right here. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Think about it. Who has delivered us from the power of the darkness? That was God, wasn't it? He goes on and he says, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. You know what all I'm going to say is, whoo! Ain't that something? Where he brought us from and where he's taking us to. Boy, if it ain't our responsibility to thank him for it, it ain't our responsibility to pray for each other. I tell you what, church, every one of us here should desire in our life that everybody be delivered from that, ain't it? And everybody be translated into that. That God's mercy and His grace and what He's delivered us from into what He's going to deliver us to. I'll be excited in one of us today. I said this morning. I said I wasn't going to get excited about it. But just to think of where I came from and where I'm headed, Clay, I could jump around this place. I could run around this place. I could shout. I could clap my hands. And I could get excited about what God has done in my life, folks. Listen to what He goes on to say. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Wow. God has done that in our lives. I believe He says where much is given, much is required. I believe there's responsibility in being a child of God. I believe it ain't something that you just take, and when you give it, you get it. You want to just take it and be selfish about it and keep it to yourself. You know, when my kids were young, it didn't matter what I gave Christy. Jeremy wanted it. And when whatever I gave Christy, Christy wasn't going to share it with Jeremy, and vice versa. But that ain't what salvation is. Is I tell you, God gave me something that's precious. It's something that is beyond words, and it's beyond description, it's beyond anything. It's the greatest thing that has ever happened to me in my life. It's the most precious gift that has ever been delivered unto earth. It's the greatest thing you can ever do. It ain't that I married that. That's the second best thing I ever did, was marry that woman right back there. But the greatest thing is the relationship that I have with Jesus Christ. And he's saying to us, he said, don't keep it to yourself, but pray that that gift be extended to everybody, and that we can all walk in the newness of life and the goodness of life and everything that God's gave us, and we can walk in that. And we can share in that. And it'll be precious to all of us. You know what? Today, God called me for a specific thing. But I got news for you. He's got a work for you to do too, hasn't he?
Amen.
He's got something in your life that you need to do. You know what the good part is? I can't do what you do, and you can't do what I do. You know, I've heard preachers say, I want to be like old so-and-so. That man, them as good preachers as there was. You know what? God had old so-and-so. He wants you to be you, don't he? And he wants you to be who God wants you to be. And God's telling us we need to pray that we'd all know that. And I need to pray for you. It's my responsibility. It's what you need to do. It's what I need to do. It's what we all need to do. And then we need to pray for each other. You say you ain't got nothing to pray for, I'll tell you what, read that scripture out there every morning. You got a bunch you can pray for, don't you? You got a bunch. It's your responsibility to pray for. You know, I believe it's that Bible. Is it Cain and Abel? I believe it was. He said, my brother's keeper. You know what? In a way, we are, ain't we? In a way, we need to pray and we need to do this and we need to have that care. You know what? That's what I love that about Shiloh Baptist Church. I believe everybody loves it. If you don't, y'all are hiding it good, okay? But I believe everybody loves each other. And everybody cares for each other. And it's a family, ain't it? It's more than just doors and walls and this. And, you know, you can meet anywhere. That ain't what makes church church, is it? What makes church church is that you have fellowship with one another. What makes church church is you love each other. What makes church church is you pray for each other. What makes church church is because when one hurts, the other one hurts. That's what makes a church, ain't it? And I believe that's what Paul was telling the people, the Colossians there. He says that what makes us and that of brothers and sisters is in Christ is because first I love you, but because I love you, I pray for you, and I desire that you walk with God, and I desire that you bear that fruit. And we're doing all of this because simply our fellowship's one another. But he says in the Bible, truly our fellowship is with God. And if our fellowship ain't with God, our fellowship with one another ain't where it ought to be, is it? And the first thing we need to remember, I believe that's why it comes all the way down to the end of it, and he says, I want to remind you something. I want to remind you what God did. I want to remind you how much He loved us. And if He loved us that much, we all love each other. You know what I'm excited about? You know what thrills me to death is that God's put me down here for a little while. I used to be that shy boy that didn't like to talk to nobody. I couldn't stand to look nobody in the eye. I couldn't stand to be around anybody. And somebody said, well, what in the world changed you because you ain't like that now? God changed me. And God made me different. He made me love everybody. He made me care for everybody. You know what? I know I get on folks' nerves now because I won't talk to them all the time. I tell you, I won't talk to folks, but I tell you more than that, I want to pray for them. And I tell you, what this old preacher, you know what? You people think all the time, I know I need to be quiet. I said we're going to be short and we ain't being short. Or, you know what? People come to the preacher a lot of times and they think, preacher needs to solve every problem in the world, don't he? I tell you what, the problem, the one that can solve all your problems is God.
Amen.
You know what? I've had bad answers sometimes. I've messed up bad sometimes. I've had people come to me for advice, and I know I probably didn't give them the best advice in the world. But I tell you, the best advice you can do is go to God. Amen. I tell you what, if we'd all pray for each other in advance when the problems arise, we probably know exactly what the answer was anyway, wouldn't we? Because as I said, that you would know the will of God in your life. I love this scripture. Hope nobody's mad because I posted it before I preached it. Somebody says he's already writing sermons out. I tell you what, church, we can find fault in anything if we want to, can't we?
Right.
You know, I found it. Read in this past week in Scripture as it talks about restraining gnats, swallowing, cannibal, all of them. I tell you, have you ever known anybody just nitpicked everything, didn't they? Always found fault in everything. I tell you what, you can find fault if you want to. I tell you this, if God can move on your heart on Sunday morning to decide what the scripture is you ought to read, God can move on your heart on Wednesday to decide what you ought to read again. I don't put it beyond in the past, and you say, well, we didn't call a preacher like that. I guess it's time to find one then, ain't it? But I tell you, I'm glad that God put it on my heart. I needed it. Sometimes I think that sometimes God gives us things for us sometimes. I needed that, and I'm thankful for it. I'm done. Come on, stand your feet. I know we got a busy day ahead of us. I'm going to say this. We do have service tonight. We ain't had Sunday night service in a while, but we do have it tonight, so remember that. And also, all the meetings, remember them. Let's, while we stand and sing, if you today... I tell you, we get caught up in this, we're in a hurry. I tell you, our day will be we go eat lunch, we go home, we'll sleep, we'll get up, we'll come back to church tonight. And that's it. So if you want to come pray for somebody right now, it'll be a good time, and I think you'll be fine in doing it. So while we sing...